All right. So let's get going, Jim. We've been talking about chashivas of Torah and chashivas of dibor, our speech, and how it's the most elevated midah, elevated koch that we have. So yesterday we spoke about bittul Torah. Why is bittul Torah? What causes it, and why is it so? You know, what can you do to address it? We said three main reasons for bittul Torah. The Goyin says number one is because a person is into taivis. Number two is because a person's into wasting time. You know, having a good time partying. They're not really into. They don't want to do anything important. And number three is a person, realize the importance of it, but they just don't want to work. And he addressed how to deal with all of those. So now let's go into the next ice. Zayin. K'moisha aroiv k'sha'ochel b'eis ra'avoy oz hu lahoyo v'im la'av avar ha'shav v'nikchash koichoy v'einoy mayo. So he said a very interesting thing here. He says, the nature of a person is that when you're hungry, you eat, the food hits the spot, and you feel good. But if you wait too long, and you're not really hungry anymore, and now, you've been hungry, you pushed it off, and then you eat, it comes to a point of no return a little bit. It comes to the point that you can't necessarily anymore appreciate the food, and it doesn't do anything for you. You know, it just goes, it doesn't do anything for you. So says the Goyin, the same as in learning. When a person has, an opportunity to learn and he's interested, he says, I'll push it, I'll go tomorrow. By the time tomorrow comes, the hunger is not going to be satiated by the food that you provided. So the learning is not going to provide the satiation on the spiritual sense if you don't provide it right away. You have to nutz the moment. You have to chop around the moment and use the time given right then and there. Bam, chop around. You're interested, you do it. And hu adin, he says, v'chein be'eis shereitzim lil moed mimcha. Same thing goes when someone wants to learn from you. L'madi moed, go learn with them. Or your Torah that you have an opportunity to give over will be gone. So someone asks you to say a Dvar Torah, and then you say, no, come back to me tomorrow, I'm not interested. Right now, I want to hear from you something. And you have an opportunity to share something with someone, you share it then. You don't wait till the next time that it comes, and then, I'll do it then. No. Someone asks you for something, and he says here, it's also, one second, so it's very important. The person is given an opportunity to share of his own knowledge with others. He should seize the opportunity. And then he says something very different. And that goes for your kids also. So sometimes a child will say, hey, dad, tati, can we learn now? And you're like, let me just finish up what I'm doing. We'll learn later. Later comes around, and the child's nowhere to be found. You say, you want to learn now? No. Now I'm already busy. Right? Now the child got busy. When the child wants to come learn, you don't say no. That's what he says here. Vim yishkach yazkiru misheinu oisekein yin chal ruach. This is not good. If someone doesn't do this, they're going to have a lot of lost opportunities in life. Okay? So, I'm not sure of shaykh to that many people. But he says an idea, but let's say the idea would be that someone asks you to be a Rebbe or to be a teacher or to share your Torah thoughts with someone. And you feel like, I don't really have anything to share. I don't have anything valuable to teach them, right? So you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that because the bottom line is you do. The bottom line is, if the person's coming to you, then the assumption is that you have more to give them than they have without you, right? Right? So that means that you should seize the moment to give it to them. They're coming, and then you say, no, you know, I don't really have anything. That's the famous story with the Chafetz Chaim, right? That the whole city of Radin was burning down, the whole city was burning down, and they went to, basically the story starts earlier. What happened was, it was a guy came to a city, and they told him, in the city, the water is no good. So what's wrong with the water? It's not so healthy, the water. You should always filter the water before you drink it. So this guy is very accustomed to drinking filtered water. He goes to the well, he gets his water, he filters the water. One day, there's a fire in the city. And he sees the fire in the city, it's just raging, the fire. And he goes to everyone and says, you know, what's going on over here? Why isn't anyone putting out the fire? So everyone says, we are, we're just filtering the water first. So the Chafetz Chaim says, you know, it's very good and very nice to use filtered water, but you have to know for what. If there's a fire, then just use the water you have. So Chafetz Chaim says, every Shomer Shabbos Yid has water, has Torah that he could teach a non-Jewish, someone else that's lower than him. There's no such thing as somebody that's not lower than you. We are all here. We have people that we can teach. We have people that we can be mashpia on, and we shouldn't say, well, look, I'm not a Rebbe. It doesn't matter if you're a Rebbe. You don't have to be a Rebbe to be able to go to the person next to you at work and say, hey, you know, I could, you know, if it's, you know, whatever level they're at, to hear from you. But the point is, there's always something that you could share with somebody, with someone else, and that is, that's what he's saying. And that's an opportunity that will never come back, because the Torah that you have, that's what he says here. It says, the Torah that you have to teach others will never come back, you know, from someone else. And therefore, it may not be the filtered water, may not be perfect, it may not be great, but it's water nonetheless, and there's a fire raging out there in the world, and who's going to put it out if not me and you? So we all have to take the opportunities that we're given, says the Chafetz Chaim, and the Goyin here says it too, and don't miss those opportunities. That's what he says. Okay, I'm running out of battery. Yeah, I may just die in a minute, in any second. Okay, then he says the following. It's a big yesod that he says here. He says, "Lilmoy be'atzmoy." What comes first? Okay, this is a question we've been dealing with since for about a year, on and off in these shiurim between the Chafetz Chaim, between the Gra and the Reb Chaim Volozhiner, we've had this conversation quite a few times, and it goes like this here. What takes precedence? Does take precedence the learning, or does Torah or mitzvahs? So the Goyin writes here, Lilmoy be'atzmoy koidem l'maisa ha-mitzvahs. Torah always comes first. Torah always comes first, and it comes before mitzvahs. Now, when I say it comes before mitzvahs, it doesn't actually mean that you give up a mitzvah to go learn, because we know that if that would be true, then Reb Chaim Kanievsky wouldn't put on tefillin, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky wouldn't end up shaking lulav, and he wouldn't do any mitzvahs because he's too busy learning, right? So obviously, and we don't mean that, but we mean mitzvahs that someone else could do. There's always a mitzvah that Torah theoretically comes before mitzvahs. Zokta going, however, of lami la'acherim maisa koidim. But the Torah to teach others, that's on a different darga, and then you have to do your mitzvahs first. So it's interesting. So he's saying to teach others possibly is a little bit of a lower level, and therefore it would be less of a tikkun in the person than Torah. So I think what he means is, what's the chashivas of the tikkun in the person? Is the greatest tikkun that a person can have is learning. That's the greatest tikkun to his neshama. After that is mitzvahs. After that is teaching others. That's what he's saying, which is a chiddush. That's how he explains it over here. Now, the next goin is a very famous goin, but we'll learn it in context because it's a yeduitic idea. Has anyone here ever heard the concept that every word that you learn of Torah is another mitzvah? Yeah, every word.
Yeah.
So that concept comes from the Vilna Gaon, and it's the Vilna Gaon. It's in the Mishnayos in Peah, and it's quoted here. So I'll read you the words, and maybe we'll analyze the source of it. It's a very, very interesting source. The Gaon says the following: Kol teva v'teva, every single word, sha'adam loymed, that a person learns, shkula hi keneged kol mitzvahs, is higher than any other mitzvah. So when we say Talmud Torah keneged kulam, it doesn't mean because you learned a whole ma'arach of Rabbi Kivega. It doesn't mean because you learned a whole mesechta or block gemara. Any one word of Torah is greater than Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Every word of Torah is your yoytzeik Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Im kain kishalaymed lamashal daf echad, you learn one block gemara, mekayim kama meyos mitzvahs. There's hundreds of mitzvahs you just did. Shekol echad b'fnei atzma shkula keneged kol mitzvahs, that each one of those is keneged all the other mitzvahs. So he says that's another reason why Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Because when a person's involved in Torah learning, they have opportunity to constantly do more mitzvahs. They're constantly involved in doing another mitzvah. The whole time they're being Isaac in it, they're Isaac in the mitzvah, they did a mitzvah. Now let's say a person did a chesed, and it took them an hour to do the chesed. They were Isaac in the mitzvah the whole time, but only at the completion of the chesed did they do the mitzvah. But if a person was learning, then that whole time they were doing mitzvahs every time. So the Gaon says that's another reason why Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Sounds like a very big chiddush, right? But this is the way, why is this Gaon tucked away in the middle of Peah, of all things? Right? What's going on over there in Peah that the Gaon is discussing this? So he's going on the Mishnah. We'll have to probably get into it more tomorrow. But he's going on the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah we say every single day, Elu devarim she'ein lahem shir. These are the following mitzvahs have no shir. Ha'peya v'habikurim. Peya and bikurim. V'talmud Torah keneged kulam. So the Gaon says, what does it mean has no shir? What does it mean has no shir? Has no measurement. Why? What does it mean? He says it has no measurement both ways. It has no measurement in up or down. All these mitzvahs have no measurement. It could be the smallest or the biggest. So the Gaon says that's pshat Talmud Torah keneged kulam. There is no shir, because the smallest amount is also a mitzvah. So there's no shir because every word is its own mitzvah. If you would tell me that you only fulfill the mitzvah, let's say with after you finish a full Mishnah, so there has a shir. You gotta learn the whole Mishnah. So it does have a shir. So what do you mean Talmud Torah ain lam shir? Obviously, there is no amount. Even one word is a mitzvah. That's how he learns pshat. Otherwise, it does have a shir. It could be very small. It could be one mishnah, one pasuk. So it's a shir. So the Gaon says it's muchach, that if it has no shir, it's because every word is its own shir. That's in amount. What about in time? In time. So the Gaon says it has no shir in time either, because every person has a different shir. This is a very big chiddush, and we'll expand on it tomorrow. Every person has their own shir of how much time their mitzvah of Talmud Torah is that day. Okay? So, whereas when you come to Kriya Shema, everybody has the same mitzvah, so it has a shir. The shir is you have to do the two parashas of Kriya Shema, and has a shir in time. You have to do it within the first 3 hours. Tefillin has a shir. You have to put on something with four, there's a specific amount. Everyone has the same. Torah is no shir. Why? It says because there's a heter to go work, right? There's a heter to go eat. There's a heter to go sleep, right? So if there's one person that for him to take care of his physical needs will take 14 hours or 20 hours in the day, he has to sleep, he has to eat, he has to do exercise, he has to work. So for him, his mitzvah of Talmud Torah is 4 hours. If there's somebody else that he doesn't have to work because he has someone else taking care of his bills, you know, and he doesn't have to sleep that much. And so for him, his mitzvah Talmud Torah could be, his mitzvah Talmud Torah may be only that 1 minute that he has left. I'm sorry, that guy who has more time, his mitzvah Talmud Torah is longer, right? So therefore, there's no shir, and we'll see later what that means. But the same thing. All these mitzvahs, there's no shir, and that's pshat that's the context of the going. I want to get into it a little more because it's a very, very interesting shtickel. And there's a whole piece in the Brik Shmuel and the Baruch Ber has a whole shir explaining this goin in Peah. So Mitzvah Shem, we'll go through that tomorrow. It's a lot of lumdus over there. How to explain exactly the lumdus of the gross. I would like to go through that tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. And we'll pick it up tomorrow back in person. All right. I'll be back in another place. Okay.
Thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Okay, good night.